Thank you, David. Thank you all who participated this morning. Thank you all for being here today on our first Sunday of the new year. And so, the Advent Christmas season is over. Y'all know that the 12th day of Christmas was Friday, right? Y'all know that. 12th day of Christmas was Friday. Yesterday was, of course, Epiphany. Epiphany, the day, traditionally, when the wise men found the baby Jesus. It's considered the day he was revealed, Epiphany, revealed to the Gentile world, represented by the Magi. And maybe some of you have been wondering, well, with this extended Christmas thing, this 12 days after Christmas, when are you supposed to take down the Christmas tree? When are you supposed to get rid of all that? We're here to help you with that. The tree stays up until Epiphany. You'll soon get used to the way things are done here. Properly. And Downton Abbey. And y'all thought you were we were done with Downton Abbey around here. No, we are not. We are not. So, of course, here in the greater New Orleans area, we know that it is now King Cake season, Mardi Gras, carnival season. Is like the party never ends down here. Many thanks to Bethany, Becky, Beverly, and Melissa, who decorated our building so wonderfully for Christmas. And many thanks to all of y'all who came back and took down all those decorations and put up the new ones on Friday. Thank you for doing that. We're going to need the Christmas things again in less than 11 months, so I hope you remember where you put them. Okay. Wasn't Christmas great this year? Did you get everything you wanted? One of you who's not actually here today, but one of you gave me my favorite gift of the season. It's an awesome coffee mug with a message, an important message on it for all of us in 2024. And when I say all of us, I mean all of you, right? Here it is. Can you see what's on there? So, keep on doing you. I need the material. Well, besides all of the other great things that this most wonderful time of the year brings to us, December brings to us lots of college football, does it not, JJ? And now there's just one more game. There's just one more game tomorrow night to decide the national championship for the Division I schools. And we have seen some great stuff on the field this year, have we not? Some great stuff, some not so great stuff, some heartbreaking stuff, as I look to my Auburn friends over here. I haven't gotten over it yet myself. I don't know about y'all, but anyway. But with all of the debate this year about which team should and should not have made it into the playoff, the four-team playoff for the Division I National Championship, you might not have realized that the Division II universities, the smaller schools in the country, they've been doing a playoff since 1973. Since 1973. 1973, it started with 8 teams. 1988, it expanded to 16 teams. In 2004, to 24 teams, and to 28 teams in 2016. This year, one of the universities that are associated with the Churches of Christ, y'all know that there are a number of universities out there in the country that are associated with the Churches of Christ. Some of you are shaking your heads, and some of you are going, what are you talking about? Yeah, there are a number of schools associated with the Churches of Christ. This year, one of the universities, Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas, won the Division II National Championship. And it is a big deal. And I got to tell you, of everything that has happened on the football fields across the nation this season, or will happen tomorrow, of everything that has happened, nothing, and I mean nothing, was or will be better than what happened when the Harding coach, Paul Simmons, who, by the way, was awarded Coach of the Year for Division II at schools, when Paul Simmons was interviewed on the field right after Harding won the national championship game. And in case you missed it live, I've got it for you to see now.
You can see the excitement, the joy in your eyes. Harding's first ever national title. When I say those words, what goes through your mind?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Faith is so little, but now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, now to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Go Bisons. Let's go. Let's go.
Your offense continuing to just rack up the rushing yards, becoming the first program ever in college football history to have 6,000 yards in a single season. How were you able to do that today against the Mines defense?
It's 100% guys that love each other, that believe in the brotherhood, that care deeply, that put themselves behind the needs of everybody else and just try to honor God. Let's honor God. Let's honor God with how we love one another, with how we work, how we sacrifice. Let's honor God. And that was really, really evident today. And how we honor God with how we battle. Boy, they battled today. Unbelievable. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go. JJ, that was great. That was great. Guys, I'm telling you. Can any of us Bible scholars quote Ephesians 3:20 as great as he did there with such passion, such power? Listen, it's 2024 now. It's time for us to move on from our theme of ready for 2023. Something new this year. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. But something Coach Simmons said in this interview, it's what I hope, what I pray and hope will be the foundation underlying everything that we do in 2024 and on into the future until the Lord returns for us. Everything we do as a church, everything we do in our worship, everything we do in our classes, everything we do in our small groups, everything we do as individual disciples and followers of Jesus, as we interact with people both inside these walls and outside, out there, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our places of business, has got to be based on this. It's just two words we can easily remember. Let's honor God. Let's just honor God. Let's just decide that from this point forward, that is going to be how we shall live. Amen? Can we do that? Can we remember these two words? Can we make this our motivation? Can we make this the goal we strive to achieve in every contact that we have with another person bears the image of God? And if we do that, won't it be amazing? It'll be amazing. Okay. So, I guess it's time to move on from our old worn out theme of ready from last year. But where do we go from here? Listen, coming up with themes is always a struggle for me. It's a struggle for me. And the years go by so quickly, it seems like. Faster and faster, it seems like we're just getting going good with the theme. And bam, it's time to think of a new one. Decision time again. This theme idea started way back in 2013. Way back then. First theme was open hands and open hearts. Our theme were suggested by our friend Grady King, who works with the Hope Network, and he was here working with our congregation back then after we had gone through a difficult time period for this church. We were kind of struggling. We were kind of trying to regain some traction. Grady came and he helped us. He helped us to stop feeling sorry for ourselves, number one. And he helped us realize that this church still has a purpose in the kingdom of God. And every year since then, we've gone back to this idea of a theme and around which we focus our minds, we focus our teaching as we continue to be a useful part in the kingdom. And some of you new folks may not know, but right over here on this board, we have the themes that we've done every year since 2013. That's what this is over here. 2013 was open doors, open hearts. 2014, light of the world. 2015, serving, sowing and growing. 2016, reaching up, reaching in, reaching out. 2017, stand. 2018, transform. 2019, I am. 2020 was vision, of course. 2021, overflow. 2022, back to basics. 2023, ready. Y'all remember all of those things and all the things that we have learned throughout those years as we focused on all of those matters? I mean, that's a pretty good collection of things. Collection of themes. Some pretty good words to remember and to live by. Amen? I hope you've been blessed by your time in the Word here at the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ. Whether you've been here since 2013 or even before that, whether your journey with us, your faith walk is just beginning here, I hope you're blessed by your time here. Okay, so where were we? Ready. We're through with ready. Last Sunday, after church, Ted May came up to me and said, I've got it figured out. Last year, ready. This year, willing. Next year, able. Get it? Ready, willing, and able. And he told me that, and I'm like, why didn't I think of that? I mean, it's obvious, right? Well, we're not going to go there, But let's do a little addendum, if we can, to ready. And okay? Because here's the truth. We are not actually ready unless we have developed the ability, we're able, and unless we have the willingness to perform when called upon. So instead of spending the next 2 years on willing and able, let's just condense it down to this. If I am not willing, if I am not able, I am not ready. If you thought you were fully ready after a full year of talking about ready, but you happen to find that this is a kind of uncomfortably accurate description of who you are right now, well, maybe it's a good idea to go back and re-listen to last year's sermons, as you can find them on our really excellent website. Go back and listen to them again so that you can be ready, willing, and able. Okay? Okay, so we're still waiting for this year's theme. Well, before Ted blew my mind last week, I had actually had an epiphany, a revelation of what our theme for this year should be. And this epiphany came to me during the middle of a class that Don Moore was leading over there in December, just a few weeks ago. And Don, you were reading from the Gospel of John. And suddenly the epiphany came to me, and I'm surprised that y'all didn't see the light coming down upon me and hear the choir singing around me, because I was like, that's it. That is it. Here's the epiphany. It came to me. Jesus started his ministry on earth and ended his ministry on earth saying the same thing. Two words. Two words that bracketed his ministry. Two words that are to characterize and describe the ongoing ministry of his body, the church, until he returns again. And okay, technically these were not the very first two words he said or the very last two words that he said. They came very near the front, and very near the end of his ministry. And the first time he said it, you'll probably remember. David showed us a scene of that from The Chosen this morning, depicting this moment in his ministry, and here's what he said. Jesus said, "Do you believe just because I told you I saw you when you were under the fig tree? You will see much greater things than this." Jesus had just done what for him was just as simple as falling off a log. Just an easy, no big deal, simple, no big deal miracle. Seeing and knowing what Nathanael had been thinking. From long, he wasn't there. He was far away. And he saw it, and he knew it. Nothing for Jesus. It was an astounding, as you saw, life-changing moment for Nathanael. It was well depicted in The Chosen this morning. Beautifully done. Jesus said, "You think that was something? You're going to see greater things than that." Now, fast forward from there, 3 years. 3 years of many greater things. And now we're at the Last Supper. Speaking of the Last Supper, by the way, one of the new decorations up in the building is a picture of the Last Supper. There in the foyer. I hope you've seen it. If you haven't seen it, go see it before you leave today. It is awesome. Thank you, Bethany, for finding that and putting it up there to help us think of these things. So now picture yourself at the Last Supper. The disciples are scared, and they're wondering what's going on. What's going to happen to all of their dreams and plans now that Jesus is leaving? Jesus tells them this. "I'm telling you the truth. Those who believe in me will do what I do. Yes, they will do even greater things." Greater things. Jesus begins his ministry saying it. He ends his ministry saying it. And he promises that those people who believe in him are going to be living lives in which greater things are to be anticipated. Greater things are to be expected. And there's a lot to unpack here. And we're going to spend some time over the next 12 months doing that. But greater things? Greater things? I mean, Jesus did great things, did he not? And now greater things are expected from us. I've got to say, it seems unlikely to me. Seems improbable to me. Seems impossible to me. But in light of this pretty straightforward statement from Jesus about greater things, I guess my question to you and my question to me on this first day of greater things at Tammany Oaks Church of Christ, my question is the same question that Jesus asked another time when he made a pretty gigantic claim and a pretty gigantic promise. His friend Lazarus had died, and he had waited to go. Remember that? And then he runs into the sister of Lazarus, and they have this encounter. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even if they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? When it comes to this promise of Jesus about resurrection and life and living, you believe it? When it comes to this, about doing greater things, you believe it? The question that Jesus has for you and for me is, do you believe this? When a promise seems unlikely, seems impossible to come true, you can either reject the promise outright, entirely, or you can take a look at who is making the promise. Is that person making the promise trustworthy? Is that person making the promise reliable? Can you trust in the promise? Here, the person making the promise of greater things is Jesus. Oh, you mean the one by whom all things were created and through whom all things are sustained? Colossians chapter 1? Yes, that Jesus. Oh, you mean the one who was and is and has always been God since the very beginning and who became a person just like us so that we could find out what God is like and so that we could become the very children of God? John chapter 1? Yes, that Jesus. You mean the one who humbled himself to die on a cross for us? Philippians chapter 2? Yes, that Jesus. Oh, you mean the one at whose name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? Also Philippians chapter 2? Yes, that Jesus. You mean the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power, that is his work at work within us? Yes, that Jesus. He is exactly the one who made the unlikely, the outrageous, the impossible promise of greater things for his followers. For us. We have a great promiser. Amen? And because we have such a great and powerful and trustworthy promiser, we can trust that His promises, including His promise of greater things, will be true. And so, because of who He is, even if we can't understand how He's going to do it, we, like, with simple and childlike faith, can look ahead to and live into the promise of greater things. Amen? If you're ready to start on that journey with us today, ready to start following Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today's a great day to do it. Let me know as we stand and sing.